It's time to feel better with help from Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Allergies, nutrition, ultimate wellness, all discussed right here, right now. It's Wellness for Life Radio on Radio MD. Here's your host, Dr. Suzanne.
21 years ago, I had my 10-day-old son Cody's tongue released. Now, clipped with surgical scissors by a nurse practitioner. I know you might think that sounds so barbaric, but I was desperate. He was absolutely starving and was having the worst struggle trying to breastfeed and chewing on me to the point where I was bleeding. And I was adamant not to give in and putting him on a bottle. So I was very fortunate to find out that Cody was tongue-tied. And there was just a simple procedure. Well, today I am so excited to introduce to you a tongue-tie expert, Nicole Archambault Besson. She is a board-certified speech language pathologist and an orofacial myofunctional therapist, OMT. I've been wanting to have Nicole on Wellness for Life for months, and finally we have her here. Thanks so much for being here, Nicole. Really appreciate your time. Now, can you please tell the listeners, what is a tongue tie?
Well, thank you, Dr. Bennett. I'm excited to be here. A tongue tie exists when the membrane or the frenulum that attaches the underside of the tongue to the floor of the mouth is either too short or too tight. This in turn can impede the ability of the tongue to move and function properly. And people will often hear a tongue tie referred to as ankyloglossia, a restricted lingual frenulum, or a newer term, a tethered oral tissue. And ties may also be referred to as anterior or posterior, in reference to their location, with posterior ties more often going undiagnosed. Tongue ties are congenital, and studies are indicating that they seem to occur more often in males.
Well, as you know, Cody is a male, and for sure he had it. But you know, now that I understood that, that Cody had that problem, I actually have a tongue tie. I grew up and nobody knew about it, and I wasn't able to nurse. My mother just couldn't nurse me, and now I understand it. And now that I've done a lot of genetic testing, oh my gosh, my brother, you know, him and his children have it as well. So it really has impacted a whole family of us, right?
Correct. And that can be a red flag to signal parents if they know that a sibling or a mom or dad or a grandparent have one, to just put that thought in their mind that it may be something they need to check out.
Right, exactly. You know, what are some of the oral functions that you might find? My son couldn't obviously nurse very well, but what else do you see that can be impacted by a tongue tie?
Okay. Well, as you know, the tongue plays such a critical role in various systems of the body. Some people even call it an organ. Ties, as I mentioned earlier, have the potential to impact tongue mobility, which is really important. And even more important when we look at that mobility is the impact to our oral functions. So, for example, maintaining an oral rest posture, and that's the ability of the tongue to rest at the roof of the mouth when we're not talking, eating, coughing, or sneezing. It can impact the ability to properly swallow liquids and solids, and we would then see like what you experienced with your newborn son. In terms of breastfeeding, there can be a difficulty chewing food. Proper oral hygiene is often impacted. And there is an impact to articulation of sounds and the ability to communicate and be understood. While breathing is not an oral function, or at least it shouldn't be, it should be nasal, a tongue tie can have an impact in nighttime sleep breathing and maintaining an optimal airway. So, as practitioners, it's just really critical that the dialogue we have with our patients and their families or other disciplines that are involved in diagnosis and management of tongue ties, that we maintain this focus on function.
Right. So you mentioned that maybe breathing issues, and of course, the child can't nurse very well. Well, how about some of the other telltale signs of the potential tongue tie in these infants and children? What else can we look at as parents? What can we look for?
Sure. And I think from the experience you've shared, you're going to relate to maybe a lot of this. But starting in infancy and breastfeeding, with breastfeeding difficulties, in newborns and infants, it can manifest as a difficulty to latch. So they're not able to maybe create a proper seal for swallowing. You may hear a clicking sound. They may require frequent feedings. okay, to get nourishment. They may be falling asleep at the breast because of all the energy and time they're exhausting trying to breastfeed. They may be biting down on the mother's nipple. The actual baby may experience gas or reflux, colic, or even colic-like behavior. And some, like you said, I think said, your son experienced an inability or struggle to gain weight. And because breastfeeding is a dyad, moms are such an important part of this equation, and we just can't leave them out of this. So we can ask them questions on our intake. Often they may say they've had nipple pain, flattened, cracked, bleeding nipples. They've experienced engorgement, mastitis, reduced milk supply. And that's because breastfeeding is a supply and demand activity, right? So when the baby's not extracting the milk, then the signal is not making it to the mom's body to produce more milk. In children, like toddlers, school-age kids, and teenagers, they may be messy eaters due to a reverse swallow pattern that many kind of know as a tongue thrust. And they may also be picky eaters or kids that avoid eating more resistive textures that are harder to manage, okay? They may pocket their food in their cheeks. Clinically, I see these children having an increase in oral sensitivities. So an example of that would be a hyperactive gag. I've had colleagues share similar experiences on that. And it's not uncommon for them to complain of stomach aches as they're swallowing air because they don't have the proper swallow pattern. They may take longer to complete meals. So for kids, you know, 15 to 20 minutes is the typical amount of time. When parents start telling you it's 30, 45, 60 minutes, something is amiss. And visually...
Can I ask one question about one of the... I mean, how about when children have difficult time pronouncing the R's and the S's, you know, when they're the pronunciations?
That is a fabulous question because... We do see that those tongue tip sounds, when we need to get that tongue tip elevated to the palate, such as T, D, L, and N, those can be impacted. And they can also be produced interdentalized, which means kids may produce them between the teeth. And yes, you're correct, S, Z, CH, SH, TH, and various variations of R sounds can all be impacted.
Right. When I was studying this a little bit, you know, many, many years ago, trying to decide, oh, my gosh, you know, what am I really going to really get this tongue released?
Right.
Of course, as a parent, you're scared because they're going to put a scissor and literally cut that little tissue. But I'm telling you, as soon as it was done, oh, my gosh, what relief. Because I had him latch on right away. There was only one little smidgen of blood, if even blood. And latched on so quickly. It was an amazing thing. The one thing that though I noticed though, as Cody was growing up, even though it did get released, it wasn't released completely, Nicole. And so it had actually an effect on his upper palate structure. Now that whole resting thing.
Yeah, you were saying. High narrow palate is not uncommon because again, you don't have that tongue mobility to get the tongue to the palate, and which helps inform it to grow. It ends up becoming nice and wide, which supports not just the nasal passages and the sinuses, but it also gives us some nice oral pharyngeal space in the back of the throat. But what you're saying is so common that, you know, people say some people do experience some immediate relief and success with breastfeeding. Other people, like you mentioned, maybe still have some restriction going on, and there's still an impact of function, and we have to think of the brain and rewiring the way children have been functioning.
Wow, Nicole, these are such important. I know that this is probably new to a lot of people, and you're probably going to go out there and start looking at everyone's tongues and your children's tongues, but I think it's important. I really do. Let's go ahead and check out Nicole's website, mindsinmotiontherapy.com. Mindsinmotiontherapy.com. Really, really happy that you're here. Thank you so much for being here with us, Nicole. I put a link on my Wellness for Life radio show page on radiomd.com. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett sharing my natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.